minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast at the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is your Saturday crew. I am Jason Perrone of Game On Wisconsin, the Quick Slants Podcast, and the Pack-A-Day Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Bredel of Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, and the Packers Unrestricted Podcast. As is deep tradition, we always start with what's going on in the sky around the great United States. Mark, it's an exciting time. I should say exciting in the sense that there's a lot happening. I don't know how exciting it actually is. On the East Coast, what's happening out there weather-wise?
Well, we, as we tape this, we're waiting the... I don't think we're going to get hit too bad, but tropical storm Elsa is forming just south of us in Florida. So we're going to get a lot of rain Thursday, Friday. As like I said, we're taping this a little early this week. By the time you're listening to this, it should be, the weather should be back to normal. I should be at the beach enjoying the sun and probably like mid-80s. I'm thinking by Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and everything should be back to normal again.
Well, if it's Elsa, if it's Tropical Storm Elsa, then it should be a bunch of ice and snow then for Frozen.
Yeah,
it?
Right. Yeah,
Does
anybody know who makes up the names for hurricanes and storms and stuff?
There's a rotating list somewhere, but I don't know.
Yeah, I've never understood how and why the names. It's alphabetical. I know that. Like the next one will begin with an F. But I don't know how to name. I never knew how the names came about. Maybe I'll work on that this week and next week. I'll have an answer for
a little. You are the weather, since you're in the hurricane belt, report. Yeah. Since you're in the hurricane belt, Mark, we'll give
neither of you have to worry about hurricanes. I don't think in there.
No.
The worst that we get here in the Phoenix area is just some occasional fallout from Pacific storms that go through like the Mexican Peninsula, but it's rare that happens.
Do you ever get sandstorms?
Yeah. I mean, well, not sand in the sense because we're too built up here. They're dust storms, So they become dust storms. And if they're big enough and they're high enough, I don't know what the qualifications are, but it's called a haboob, which is then a massive dust storm, and that's where you see the video of like this big brown cloud just enveloping the city, like in the movies.
Yeah.
But that's not, we aren't, doesn't look like we're going to have any of those in Phoenix. Real boring in Phoenix. 110 and sunny for the foreseeable future. And that's pretty much going to be my life between now and the end of September. So I won't have a whole lot of excitement to add. But last couple weeks, Paul, you've kept us on our toes with the weather. What's happening in the Dairyland State this weekend?
So 4th of July weekend was mid-90s sunny, super hot. Wednesday, high of 63. So we're all over the place, but it's going to even out to a nice 75, 80 degrees sunny. So I'm looking forward to that this weekend.
All right. There you go. Very doable. Very doable. Perfect weather for you to work on the honey-do list and get outside and do some yard work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So fantastic. Well, I hope everybody had a great 4th of July. And here we are at yet another weekend. There was some fun stuff depending on who you are, that went on with Aaron Rodgers and playing golf this past week, and he was with some other quarterback from some other team in the NFC. I can't remember his name. And so that was earlier this week. But as we have been doing for the past couple weeks, been kind of riding a little bit of Paul's coattails with the great writings that he's been doing. So we're going to focus on another one of your pieces, Paul, and I will turn it over to you to facilitate the conversation. I think it's going to be a little bit of a Q&A with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jason. So this last probably week and a half now, I've put out two articles, my five big questions for the offense entering training camp, and then I had six for the defensive side of the ball. And I think next week we'll do the defense as long as there's no breaking news at that point. But today we're going to focus on offense. So I'm going to go through what those questions were, and I'm going to see how Mark and Jason feel about them, what their answers are, guesses, just whatever they think about it. So, fellas, should we get the big one out of the way?
Yeah.
Let's start with, will Aaron Rodgers join the Green Bay Packers? So as we all know, he missed OTAs, mini camp. He was subject to a fine of $93,085 for missing minicamp. That's if the Green Bay Packers didn't excuse him. We don't know whether they did or not. If he misses training camp, he will miss, or he will be fined. And this is in the CBA. This isn't the Green Bay Packers picking a number out of a hat. He will be fined $50,000 for every day that he misses. If he chooses to skip it all, the fine is north. The total fine is north of $2 million. So, guys, Mark, I'll start with you. One, does Aaron Rodgers show up to training camp? And two, if you think he does, is it right away? Is it in the middle? Is it at the end? Any sort of guess that you can make on that?
I don't know. We'll see. Isn't that what he said the other day?
That's like, yeah, it's pretty much it.
strategic pause there by Mark.
It was.
You're asking me my guess is the Packers open July 27th. Is that the day or 28th? I'm not even sure what day they actually open camp. He'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be there when he's supposed to be there. He won't get. Again, I could be wrong, but you're asking me my opinion. He's there. He does not incur any more fines or anything of that nature. I'm dying to hear what he says when he does show up, but I think he realized I don't know what. Well, I can't speak for him because I think he's lost his mind. But my guess is yes, he's there and it's all back to normal.
Jason?
So I talked about this on Quick Slants this week, and it was one of the topics, actually, was my leadoff. And listen, Will C is essentially a yes. I'm coming back. I'll be there. He didn't opt out. He didn't go to the mini camps. I'll just, spoiler alert right now, I have no source, but the Packers excused him, absolutely. They're not going to come after a couple dollars in this case. They can't excuse him from training camp, but I'll be shocked if they actually impose any fines for minicamp. So I think the Packers might have even known he wasn't coming. I do think when he speaks, finally, to your point, Mark, I think we're going to be underwhelmed by what he says at that time. I think the entertainment that we're going to get from Rodgers is happening right now. So anything that he's saying that's going to entertain us and intrigue us is happening right now. Now, whether you're entertained or intrigued is completely subjective. That's totally up to from one person to the next. It changes. Some people might see his shtick right now as really lame, and some people might be very entertained by it. I think he's a little – it's not the Rodgers we're used to. But listen, it's like we said before we started recording the show. You show up on Sundays, you play lights out, and you're in the conversation again for MVP, or if he's fortunate enough to win it again, which would be surprising as heck to me, then it doesn't matter. But I think he's going to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. It's obviously both sides' best chance to win and add to the legacy and find high success is with each other. Rodgers isn't going to find this anywhere else in the NFL. So if he wants to virtue hunt, go for it. You're not going to find what you're looking for, and you may end up like a lot of other Hall of Fame veterans who ended up finishing their career with another team, and everybody was like, why did they do that? Why did they go to that team? Why did they play that extra year, et cetera, et cetera? But I think Rodgers is under center for the Packers this fall, just based on the fact that, you know, it's we'll see. It's not a no, and he hasn't opted out. All the tea leaves, as you like to say, Paul, to me, say he's coming back.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm sorry. The only player, that's a good point that you brought up, Chase, about other Hall of Famers going somewhere else at the end. Other than Peyton Manning, no other one has ever had the success at the second place, right?
Unitas, Joe Namath, guys like that.
They were done. I mean, but even like Emmitt Smith, well, he was kind of done too. But Emmitt Smith went to Arizona, did nothing. Jerry Rice bounced around a little bit with Seattle and Oakland, did nothing.
Joe Montana made the playoffs, but they didn't get to the Super Bowl.
He won four, not even close to what he did with San Francisco. Manning's the only one, right? I can't think of anyone else that went somewhere else and was even as good, never mind better.
Well, Brett Favre was a really terrible Favre-esque throw down the middle away from who knows what would have happened after that, but yeah.
I mean, Favre went to two Super Bowls with Green Bay. With the Jets, they didn't even make the playoffs. And with the Vikings, he had the one good year, but he didn't get to the Super Bowl, so it wasn't as good. Well, Brady, now I guess. Well, Brady, I guess. Now.
I was just going to mention that, yeah.
Well, he hasn't. Well, he's not going to win six.
No.
He's not going to play long, so he's not going to do better. I mean, you know. But Brady's not even he's not even human, is he? I mean, that doesn't even count. He's like an alien.
For me, from the start of all this, I've said Rodgers is going to be the Packers quarterback week one. There's it just never made sense for him not to be, and there's been nothing that we've heard throughout all the noise and the buzz this offseason to make me think otherwise. I mean, a good question, and we've talked about it already, is will he be there the first day of training camp? I think so, because ultimately I think this comes down to winning. You know, when we look at OTAs and minicamp, there's nothing there for Rodgers entering year 17 for him to gain. You know, that's not like LaFleur's implementing anything new. There's no reps that he's going to take that he can't get, you know, on his own or that he'll take in training camp. So if I had to guess, I think he will be there for the start of training camp when it's, you know, everything kicks up a few notches as we get into the preseason, and the regular season's just about five-ish, six-ish weeks away at that point.
Him missing the mini camp and all the other stuff was probably, in the grand scheme of things for the Green Bay Packers, was probably good because it gave Jordan Love.
Oh, definitely.
Most reps he'd ever had. I mean, you know, we've talked a million times about how Love got cheated last year because of the, you know, because of COVID and not having a real camp and not having the off season that you normally have and not having any preseason games. So for the Green Bay Packers, it was great for Jordan Love to get all that work. You know, I mean, and he still would have got some, I'm sure, if Rodgers was there, but Rodgers would have had to get, you know, a lot of work too. If he's there, you have to, you know. So no, I think it worked out perfect, really.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, if he missed the first, you know, week or two of training camp, I think that they would be okay with that as long as they know that he's going to come back. Although one interesting wrinkle, as much as this Green Bay Packers team in 2021 is the same as it was in 2020, the guy snapping Rodgers' ball is different. So Rodgers, yes, he's in year 17, but there's still some familiarity there that'll need to develop. And of course, training camp in the preseason. Or he won't play much in the preseason, but training camp is a good opportunity for that. So shall we move along to the other quarterback? My question was, how does Jordan Love look during the preseason? That's a very broad question to ask. So I'll switch it up to you guys a little bit. And what are your expectations for him and how he looks during the preseason? Jason, want to lead us off?
Yeah, I think Jordan Love is going to surprise and look pretty good in the preseason. It's against competition level that's not like a game, although you do have guys flying around trying to make teams, and so it's not like there's no effort, but the talent is just not there. These aren't starter caliber players. So I do understand that, but I think there's something to be said about you're finally in game action. There's a pass rush. There's live stuff going on. Your guys are being covered. You got different jerseys on the field. Everyone's got an MO and an end game, which is them trying to make a roster. So, but I think Love is going to surprise us, and we'll get a chance to see his talent on display. Now, I fully expect him to make some poor decisions and bad throws as well. That's just, you know, and the other thing with young quarterbacks that I think we have to get comfortable with is that they're going to panic and they're going to take off and they're going to run. That's the other thing we have to get used to is, you know, Rodgers, for a time, he doesn't do it anymore, but there was a time, even up till a couple of years ago, when Rodgers would take off running and you had that trust and that confidence it was going to be effective because you're like, okay, that's Rodgers. If he's running, that's the best option. Whereas with a young quarterback like Love, he's going to start running and you're going to say, oh, just pick up some yards because he's panicking and he doesn't want to trust his eyes and stick around in the pocket. But I don't watch a ton of film. I don't know what his greatest strengths are as far as throws go, but he's been putting in the work, and you'll quickly get a sense for how intelligent he is as far as the offense with some of these live reps that he's in, because how does he progress? Is he constantly checking down? I heard there was a lot of checkdowns in training camp, and then I think it was Bill Huber with SI who said not to panic. You know, that's part of the LaFleur offense, and Rodgers did a fair share of that too, because you've got Aaron Jones and guys that you can check down to that are worth getting the ball. But I still think Love's going to impress more than not. I'm excited to see him selfishly because we haven't yet seen him in live action. But I don't think he's going to do well enough to create any kind of a controversy to where we revive the idea of Aaron Rodgers going somewhere else because it's Jordan Love time. but I have better hopes than not for number 10.
What are your expectations, Mark?
Well, you know, I think I made it pretty clear that I've been a big Jordan Love fan from the day the Packers drafted him. I mean, I think prior to that, I whoever drafted him, I was going to like Jordan Love. I liked him coming out. I thought he should have been a first round pick. I thought he would go higher than when the Packers. I didn't think he'd be there for the Packers to even trade up to get him. So I've always been a fan. I'm anxious to see him. Like this, I'm you know, we didn't get to see anything last year, so I do want to see him. He'll make mistakes, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers makes mistakes at his age. I mean, Tom Brady makes mistakes. He's the best. I mean, but he's going to do in preseason games. Yeah, he'll look good. For the main reason is not just who he's playing with and who he's playing against, but defenses don't game plan in preseason. Yeah, you'll have some guys out there trying to make plays, but they're not. All week in practice, the defense coordinator is not going to be game planning for Jordan Love. That's just not what they do in preseason. They worry about putting in their own defense and getting their guys ready. They're not watching film of the other team. They don't come up with strategies on how to stop certain things. They want to look at their guys. So that's the biggest struggles young quarterbacks have, is when good defensive coordinators come up with different things that they've never seen before and watch them and say, oh, okay, this guy does this, so we're going to do this, and he's not going to know what to do. That's when young quarterbacks have their biggest problems. I remember, again, I tell Eagle stories because I covered them for so long. There was nobody better at beating a young quarterback than Eagles' old defensive coordinator, Jim Johnson. I forget the number off the top of my head now, but he had an incredible, or the Eagles had an incredible record versus, like, quarterback starting in their first year, not necessarily a rookie quarterback, but if Love were to start this year, you know, quarterback starting for the first time, their record was something like, I don't know, it's like 89% or something. I mean, it was crazy. It was like whatever, and one quarterback ever beat him in his first year, and it was like a low scoring game. It wasn't like the quarterback, you know, put up 40 points against him. It was just the Eagles offense played poorly that day as well. So anyway. So I expect Love to put up, you know, some pretty good numbers. He may run a little bit, as Jason said. Kind of wish Aaron Rodgers would have run on that third and goal right before they could. That's just me.
Oh, man. PTSD.
So in the article, I wrote down a few things. Obviously, it won't be to the extent of Aaron Rodgers by any means, but is what level of freedom is he given at the line of scrimmage to change things up, especially early on? Is it none? So I thought that might be something to watch for. And then something that both Hackett and Getsy have talked about is him going through his progressions and his footwork. Those are going to be two big things to keep our eyes on. Are his eyes going to drop? How does he look in the pocket from a comfortability standpoint? And then, of course, accuracy as well. So those are going to be some things to watch. And again, you guys talked about it already. He's a young quarterback. This is going to be a roller coaster ride. There's going to be ups and downs. Can't be too high, can't be too low. I mean, mini camp was a perfect example. The first day was rough. The second day was brilliant. The third day was in the middle. And that's probably a lot of what this preseason is going to be. Next up, we'll move along to the offensive line, which I think is going to be the most intriguing positional battle on the roster this year. So if Bakhtiari is healthy, we know it's going to be Bakhtiari, Billy Turner, Josh Myers, and Elton Jenkins, which leaves a spot open at guard. If Bakhtiari is out for the first few weeks, then there's likely two spots at guard available. Jenkins and Turner will be the tackles. Myers will be the center. So, Mark, I know you wrote an article about this a few weeks back now, but what are your expectations for the offensive line, what it'll end up looking like week one with Bakhtiari, without Bakhtiari? Who do you think fills in that missing spot or two?
Okay, well, let's say Bakhtiari does, you know, pulls off the miracle and starts against New Orleans. Like you said, it'll be him and Turner at tackle, Myers at center, Jenkins at one guard. And I think Lucas Patrick will start at the other guard. I just think you want someone with a little experience next to your rookie center. Plus, I think Patrick has kind of earned it. I mean, I know everybody, you know, wants to, he's the guy everybody wants to move out, and eventually they will. I mean, the Packers drafted a lot of young guys, Runyon, Newman, for a reason. But I think opening day, I still think it's Patrick. We'll see. That's what camp's for. If, you know, if a Royce Newman goes out there and just looks like the next Elgton Jenkins in camp, well, then hell, then you have to play him, right? But if you remember, you know, Jenkins wasn't starting as great as he has become, and what a great pick that was. If you remember, he didn't start the opener. Lane Taylor was ahead of him until then. Lane unfortunately began getting hurt, and you know, Jenkins went in, and then because they couldn't take him out once he got in because he was so good. But so yeah, opening now without if there's no Bakhtiari, then yeah, I'm with you. I think Jenkins kicks out the tackle. Now you need two guards. My guesses would be Patrick and Runyon for now until I see Newman. Now I think, you know, from what I'm hearing, a lot of good things about Newman, but until I actually see him, I have to go with what I've seen. And what I've seen is Runyon did okay when in those the few spots he had to play last year, going in, you know, cold in the middle of the game, he actually held his own pretty well. So that would be my guess there, Patrick and Runyon, if there's no Bakhtiari. And if there is Bakhtiari, then I think Patrick is still your starter. I didn't leave anybody out, did I? Oh, Brady. Nope. No, he's not starting. they're just talking him up a little bit.
Jason, do you agree with Mark, or do you make any changes?
I'm a 100% parrot of exactly what Mark said, almost verbatim. I think it's kind of the old, back when McCarthy was the head coach, and the starters are the starters until someone else takes over, but rarely did you insert the rookie or the new guy in to begin the year. So I'm in agreement. I mean, Lucas Patrick, you could do a lot worse than him. He had a rough game against Carolina last year, but he was steady otherwise. And there's still something to be said about all those guys working together. And good point there, Mark, about the rookie center. As good as and as smart as Myers is being billed up to be, he still has to get out there and prove that he can do it. And if that's been the combination in camp, also to that point, if Myers has been used to Patrick being there next to him, and I know they've rotated guys in and out, then, you know, especially the first couple games when his head is swimming and he's taken into the NFL experience, you want to keep it as familiar to him as you possibly can. And then also to Mark's point, look, I would love to usher in the next era of the offensive line and show some success for the draft and develop, and to see guys like Newman and Runyon out there and have all these young guys out there starting and able to play right away. But it just doesn't always work out that way in the NFL. But if Newman's doing it, he obviously has very much earned it, and he's lighting the world on fire. So can't be a bad thing in any case. But I echo exactly what Mark said. Exact same thoughts.
Yeah, I agree 100% as well. I mean, Lucas Patrick was low-key really good last season. Yeah. You look at his Pro Football Focus, ESPN numbers, they were among some of the best among guards in the NFL last season. And when it comes to making the argument, for lack of a better word, on why he should start, Mark's point about having, and I know you said this in the past too, but your point about having a center, a rookie center, and then either rookie guard or an inexperienced guard next to him, I think that's a huge reason just to start Patrick for that reason alone.
Right. I was going to add that if Lindsley was still the center, mm-hmm. if they re-signed him instead of Aaron Jones or whatever, then maybe I could see you going with, all right, it's not, maybe we will give Newman a shot or Runyon a shot, because we're pretty veteran everywhere else. I mean, we got an all pro center. He's been around a long time. The right tackle has been around for a while. You know, everybody else, but yeah, I don't, if I'm trying to win, and the Packers are in win now mode, this isn't a rebuilding team by any means. I don't want to have to. I don't want 40% of my offensive line being brand new.
No, that's a great point. And if we look at the Packers in the Gutekunst era, he sets up these draft picks so that they don't have to start right away. Obviously, if they come out and they win and they compete, we've seen him with LaFleur. He's going to put out the best players out there, but they're positioned so they don't have to. I mean, even as good as Jaire Alexander has become, his first 6-7 weeks last season, he wasn't the, you know, quote unquote CB2. He was playing 60-70% of the snaps before he started, came back from injury and started playing, you know, 90-100% of them. Rashawn Gary was brought along slowly. Mark brought up Elgton Jenkins. Looking at last year's draft, AJ Dillon, Jordan Love, obviously, really the only player who came in and started right away from day one has been Darnell Savage. Other than that, the Packers, their strategy is clear. It's if we have the luxury to let a rookie develop. So I'm referring to specifically Royce Newman in this scenario. They'll certainly take that opportunity, as they should, because in the long run, we're seeing it with Gary. It's going to pay off dividends for these guys because it's just such a tough leap to make going from college to the NFL.
I think a spinoff question is, are we sure Myers is a center? I mean, it looks that way, mm-hmm. but they're not going to, if he struggles, don't mm-hmm. be surprised if Patrick moves to center.
No, that's a great point as well. And LaFleur's talked about it last summer because the offensive line, specifically the right side, there was competition. He is all about finding the best five, regardless of what that five looks like. And so I think that's a very good point as well.
I mean, I think from what I've heard and what I've seen, Myers will be fine. But mm-hmm. again, until we see it, you know, that's why they're not. I mean, I read some things, people wanting to, hey, could Patrick be a cap casualty? I say absolutely not. I mean, it's only he's not making $10 million. He's making $2 million. It's not that big a savings.
Mm-hmm.
You're cutting. I mean, he's too important. I mean, like I said, we don't know Myers is the guy yet. I mean, they want him to be second round pick and everything, but as you just said before, they like their rookies to ease in. Well, you're throwing Myers right out there. If he's starting against the Saints opening day, that's not easing. That's putting him out there. So. It wouldn't, put it this way, I wouldn't be totally shocked if Patrick is your starting center opening day. And again, if Bakhtiari's back and you have Jenkins and Runyon at guard maybe or something, whoever, you know what I'm saying? We don't know. It's a good problem to have because I think the line has some good young depth right now.
If there's one team that knows about the importance of offensive line depth, it's the 2020 Green Bay Packers and this Green Bay Packers team. There were so many injuries and musical chairs that had to be played last year. And I mean, if you were just if you didn't know who was starting along the offensive line and you just watched from game to game to game, you would probably think it's the same guys each week because regardless of who was in and where they were, they rarely missed a beat. It was really an impressive performance all around. So we will go to, I believe this is question four. I said the offensive line was the most intriguing position battle to me. The most intriguing player for me, and I've talked about him on here before, is Devin Funchess. So I will put each of you on the spot. We don't need to get into necessarily what we think he'll do over the season because this is meant for training camp. So Jason, lead us off. Does Devin Funchess make the final roster?
I think he does. I've thought about this, and I've listened to the coaching staff talk the tea leaves, as we like to say, a little bit. I think he does. So your point, Paul, and you made a good one, and it definitely has caused me a lot more pause because I just assumed Funchess would be on the roster. But your point about you take the upside every time over a player like Funchess who is what he is, because you think about the upside of like an EQ, for example. And how the Packers could potentially go that route. But I think Funchess is the veteran presence, and it's just one more savvy vet that the Packers can use who's played in a lot of NFL games. Now, the problem is he hasn't played in any NFL games in 2 years. So maybe that savvy that he has built up during his earlier years has all gone away because the last 2 years not playing is going to make him so rusty he's just not going to look good, and he doesn't make the roster. But if I had to bet right now, one way or the other, and I didn't have a choice to sit it out, I'm betting that Funchess is on the roster. I think he gets worked in very slowly. I don't expect to see a lot of him early on, but he's there, and he brings some of that depth and experience. If the Packers need to call in his number late in the season, you'd rather have somebody who's been in a bunch of NFL games and been in the trenches, or I shouldn't say trenches, he's not an lineman, but you know what I mean. He's got a lot of experience, and he's been in some games before that he can rely back on some of that experience.
How do you feel, Mark?
Yeah, I wish I didn't agree. I want to argue, but I can't. I agree. I agree with Paul. Yeah, I think he makes the team. And again, I'll say this: if he doesn't, it's probably a good thing because it means somebody, whether it's St. Brown, who I highly doubt because I don't think he's any good. But maybe there's Juwan Winfrey or Reggie Megelton or Malik, somebody. I mean, for him, for one of those young guys to beat him out, it means they looked unbelievable in camp and in the preseason games to the point where they couldn't afford to cut them. They if one of these young guys just lights it up so much and is just, you know, putting on a show every day at camp and goes out in the preseason games and catches 2-3 touchdowns, well, that's a good thing. I mean, that's great. I would love to see one of those young guys do that because they have much of a more of a future with the Green Bay Packers than Hunches does. I mean, he's on a 1-year deal. But I mean, that's asking for a lot. So yeah, you know, on today, July 10th, yeah, I think Devin Funchess makes the team for all the reasons that Paul stated. Plus, I think this: the Packers were pretty good in the red zone. I mean, they since LaFleur's offense has been put in, they've been until the Tampa Bay game. You know, they've been a very good red zone team. Well, he's a red. Even if they're easing him in, as Jason mentioned, I think one part of the package that we'll use him in is red zone because he's such a big target. He gives you another big weapon in the red zone.
Can play in the slot too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get him matched up against a 5'9", 5'10", corner or safety, whatever. That's a bad matchup for the defense. So, you know, you just throw him a little lob ball there, boom, that's 6 points, or it should be. So I think he makes the team. The only thing that would hold him back is I don't think he's much of a special teams guy.
You just beat me to where I was going with this. to push back a little bit and create some fun discussion, the Packers only kept 5 receivers last year. If they do the same this year, 4 of those spots are already accounted for. Funchess, who isn't a special teams contributor, could that be the reason he doesn't for someone like a Malik Taylor or Juwan Winfrey? Yeah. Especially when we look at there's only one football to go around. You have Devontae Adams. You have Aaron Jones. There's the slew of tight ends that they have, Alan Lazard, MVS, Amari Rodgers, A.J. Dillon. Could that be the reason that if he's not going to make the roster, do you think that's the reason why?
Yes. Yes. I said, that would be the one thing that holds him back. Now, maybe he's never been asked to play special teams in his other stops, right? Because he was starting wide receiver. Just because he's never done it doesn't mean he can't do it. I mean, if he's going to be the fourth or fifth, or probably fifth receiver, well, if they only keep 5, he may be in trouble. I think when you did your 53, you kept 6, didn't you?
Yep, and I had him there.
Yeah. I'm probably keeping. I think you're going to keep 6, and that'll get him on. If they only keep 5, that could be interesting. It could be. Then it'll be fun. It'll save. And again, if one of these, you know, it's going to take somebody, Taylor, Winfrey, whoever, having a very good camp. A very good camp and a very good preseason, which has happened. We've seen guys come out of nowhere to make the team off of what they've done. That's why you have preseason. That's why, you know, it's preseason isn't for Devontae Adams. We know what he can do. It's for these, you know, young. It's for rookies and undrafted guys and guys that come out of nowhere that open eyes. Winfrey opened eyes in minicamp, right? That's what everybody was talking about. Well, now the eyes are on him. You know, and we'll see what he can do. I mean, he is a good special teams guy, so we'll see. But again, on July 10th, but 2.5 weeks before camp even starts, I think he makes the team.
Yeah, that was the other part of the show I did too, was talking about special teams and Mo Drayton. If I'm Mo Drayton, I don't know how big his voice is in the room, but they've had 3 really average, lackluster special teams units from Slocum to Zook to Menenga. And I know that each time they brought in, you know, wanted to inject some new life into it all. But by the end of it, it was, you know, we all know how Zook's era ended. That was pathetic. Slocum's ended on the terrible game in Seattle. And then Menenga just, the special teams have just been also ran. So the Packers may not have the luxury of an entire position group not contributing, especially when the receiver body type is typically ideal for gunners. I know you can use defensive backs and safeties and corners too, but it seems like that could end up being the telltale. But I think if the Packers are pushed, they add an extra body and at wide receiver, because I just think they like Devin Funchess. I just think he's on the team. I don't think that'll be what pushes him out.
I wrote an article for Cheesehead TV. I think it was last Friday now. Can't remember. But it was, as training camp, as the preseason unfolds, we know who a majority of the roster spots are going to. But for those back end ones, look to special teams. Look who the gunners are. Look who's getting a bulk of the snaps in training camp. Look who's on the field during the preseason. Because for some of these back end position battles, that's going to be what determines it. So that might... There's some reading the tea leaves for us. Watch the special teams unit. We'll see maybe some of those back end of the roster guys are on offense and defense. So on to our final question, and it's one we've kind of discussed before when we went through our 53-man roster prediction. But one of the big questions left on the offensive side of the ball is who's going to be running back three. So we know Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. The Packers, probably about a month ago now, they cut Mike Weber. To make room for, I think it was Devondre Campbell on the roster. So it's going to be between Kylan Hill, Patrick Taylor, and Dexter Williams. You guys know how I feel about Patrick Taylor, and we already know that Mark's going to pick Dexter Williams. So, Jason, why don't you kick us off? Who do you think is going to be running back three?
All right. Well, I got to go with Patrick Taylor if it's amongst those groups. Again, Dexter Williams even still being on this roster is just befuddling to me. Even as a training camp and practice squad guy, you can't do any better than that. It seems like that experiment ended a couple years ago, and the Packers are, for whatever reason, hanging on to him. It's not like he was a high draft pick like a Josh Jackson, and you have to give him his entire contract to try and pan out. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, but I'll go with Patrick Taylor. Body type, skill set, all those other things, too. And as the third back, the other thing you have to keep in mind is we don't know how much of Amari Rodgers we're going to see moving around in the offense. And I'm not saying he's going to become a running back and drive Andy Benoit crazy and wear 87 and be out of the backfield. We know he's going to wear a single digit number, in fact, but he's going to get some snaps back there and move around. And so I don't know that the third running back is going to be as key and as vital. This kind of takes me back to the days where this was a fun conversation. You know when this would have been a fun conversation? Paul, you were probably just coming into your own as a Packers fan, and Mark, you can relate to this. This would have been a fun conversation during the Amon Green, Najee Davenport, Tony Fisher days, because they all played a specific role, and you wanted all three of those guys in the backfield, and you needed all three of those guys, not to mention Henderson at fullback. But those three guys played an equal role. But when you have an Aaron Jones and an A.J. Dillon, I just don't know how much the third running back is going to impact the offense when you consider some of those other weapons. But if you ask me, out of all of those guys, to me, it seems like a pretty easy choice. It's Taylor. And I think Hill, if nothing else, I think Hill gets to the practice squad, and everybody's worried that he's going to get plucked because of that speed. I think he'll be okay. I think the Packers could stash him away and keep him, save him for a rainy day.
How about you, Mark?
I'm going to go Hill for two reasons. One is, I think they like Taylor. And, they obviously like Taylor. They drafted for a reason. I mean, if they were sold on Taylor as number three, they would have drafted something else there, like a long snapper. I don't know. So the fact that they drafted Hill, they like something about him. And some people that I've talked to around the league think that might be one of the steals of the draft, getting him where they got him. Because there's a lot of ability there. He has, as Jason said, he has the speed. He's a great receiver out of the backfield, which, as you know, Packers want their backs to catch the ball. He could be Tony Fisher. Matter of fact, that might be. Aaron Jones might be Amon Green. A.J. Dillon could be Najee Davenport.
That's true.
And Hill could be Tony Fisher. I mean, that was a great thing that you brought up there, Jason. And again, I do agree with Jason. Running back three is not going to make an impact as long as everybody's healthy. But running backs get nicked up from time to time. So if a Jones, gets a little nicked and God forbid it's a long-term thing, but just, has to miss a week, or same with Dillon. Like last year, Jamal Williams missed a cut. That's why Dillon played that game, right? Jamal Williams was out a couple weeks. Not taken, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Dillon had the great game against Tennessee. So there's going to be, you know, there's probably between Jones and Dillon, they're going to miss a game or two combined. Hopefully no more than that. So you're going to have another backup on the, you know, active that night or that day. And that's why that, I mean, I don't think they'll dress three backs on a normal game on the 40, when they dress 47 now, 46, whatever it is. They'll probably have that guy on the inactive list most of the time. Unless, again, let's go back to what we just talked about 5 minutes ago. Who's the better special teams player between Hill and Taylor? And I'm not even going to mention the other guy because I don't want to see him. So, you know, that could play a big role in who makes the team and who's your running back three. But I just think Hill, I think they drafted him for a reason.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that I like this question is because I think it's closer than most people think. I think Hill obviously had an impressive career at college. He's well suited for the LaFleur system, as is Taylor. But we haven't seen Taylor. He was undrafted a year ago. He spent most of the year on IR. I think he's just forgotten about. But he, too, is well suited for this offense. And I think we really can't overlook that year in the NFL, that year, you know, sitting in meetings, even though he maybe not participated in a lot of practices, being on the field, being around the team, you know, absorbing the playbook. And, you know, this is an offense for running backs, receivers that can get complicated, the LaFleur system, depending how deep they, you know, are expected to go and what their responsibilities are. So I think that will be a factor. With that said, if we get to the first week of September and Hill wins a job, I'm not going to be surprised. If Taylor gets the job, I'm not going to be surprised whatsoever. And you two both hit the nail on the head. This is going to be the AJ Dillon, Aaron Jones show for the most part. But I think it's a good conversation to have.
And again, you kept all four, if I'm not mistaken.
I did.
Which, again, that's why, again, I'll say it again. Training camp and preseason isn't to see how good Aaron Jones is. We already know how good he is. It's to see who's better between Taylor and Hill. And maybe some other guy that we don't even know. Is there another running back on the roster somewhere? I don't know. I mean, guys come out of nowhere sometimes. They really do. And you just say, oh, how about that? I mean, a great example of that is when Matt Flynn beat out Brian Brohm to be the backup quarterback way back when.
Yep.
Brian Brohm was the second round pick where everyone thought was, oh my God, Brian Brohm.
Well, Brian Brohm was supposed to beat out Aaron Rodgers at one point, wasn't he?
It was talked about, and he just didn't, and they never played anywhere. And Matt Flynn turned out to be one of the best backup quarterbacks in Packer history. I think. Am I overdoing Matt Flynn there?
No. Hey, listen, Matt Flynn's a record holder in Green Bay, didn't he?
Yes.
The six touchdowns in 2011?
I'm the president of the Matt Flynn.
Even Brett Favre didn't pull that off.
No.
Unless you count the games where he threw for four touchdowns and two pick six, and then it was six touchdowns. They didn't all go the right direction.
Right. The ball found the end zone, though. I have to say this because of just last year and no preseason, training camp not be open to the public. I can't overstate just how excited I am for this all to begin this year. And we're getting there, friends, just a couple weeks away.
Yeah, we're counting the days.
Almost there. So as we do to end each episode, we will go around the horn with what is out, what's upcoming. Jason, you want to take us off?
Well, it's pretty light for me because over at Game On Wisconsin, we're doing some revamping and getting ready for what is our launch of our second season in existence. So Quick Slants will be on hiatus next week, and then it'll be back the week after when we kind of relaunch everything. So looking forward to that. And then, of course, I'll be back with you gentlemen once again next weekend for another show. And we're getting ready. Football content's coming. So it's we're going to have to say goodbye to all these fun topics.
Absolutely. Mark?
This is football content. We're talking football, Jason. We're not talking about the Suns and the Bucks, which you guys were dying to talk about. Ooh. I said, no, we're not talking NBA playoffs.
He said it, not me, Paul.
Right. I don't. Our fans are Packers fans. I don't want to hear about the Sun. Anyway, I have, if you noticed during the show, if you've been paying attention, I mentioned the name Juwan Winfrey a couple times, and that's because I have a nice story up about Juwan Winfrey. I had a chance to talk to him last week, and I posted a story about him on Packer Report. Had a great quote about, he had been hurt a lot. He was hurt in college. Anyway, he went to the Broncos, drafted him, 6th-round pick, and he was hurt his rookie year in Denver. And it kind of, it's been kind of a tough for him. I mean, going through these injuries. And I said, I asked, he said, yeah, he feels great now. He said, all I had to do was get out of the state of Colorado. So I got a story about Winfrey up, and I have I'll have a story up this week also about the defensive line. And basically, I think it's better. I think the defensive line is a lot better than people think it's going to be. And I'll tell you why in my story.
Looking forward to that one. For me, I've just been kind of going through profiling, I guess, if that's the right word. Different players. I got something about Big Bob Tonyan, KB Nento, Vernon Scott. I have these question articles for the offense, defense, even did one for special teams. We'll see if we're desperate enough for content to spend an episode doing that. But I got all that stuff out there. So until next time, as Jason Perrone always says, take care, stay safe, and
go Pack, go.